As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp, but feel stiff. Others are comfortable, but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in to the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz of Soccer down here. The aftermath of match day one for Atlanta United. And unfortunately, it is something that fans and the team alike have been a little bit accustomed to, a little bit too much in recent seasons. It is a road loss. It is being shut out here. Of course, understandable to an extent. And Tata now 0-3 in his season debuts with Atlanta United. But it was a challenge against FC Cincinnati, and one, Maddie, that you kind of talked about a little bit earlier. The result was going to be whatever the result was, but you wanted to kind of look at this game and set a baseline for how this team wants to play and what they want to look like. And look, there's some good that did come out of this, but certainly plenty of bad as well. And now you have an opportunity for Atlanta United to take a week, readjust, make some changes, whether that's tactically, whether that's personnel, and then continue on with the MLS season when you hit the road to San Jose. What were your initial thoughts, though, Maddie, in this 2-0 loss?
Yeah, I think that to start things out, I think that it was a really good first half. I think it was a really, there's a lot of good takeaways from this performance. I think when you look at individual, I think Elias Baez, it was our first time seeing him. I thought he had a really, really good match for Atlanta United, seeing him for the first time in the five-stripe kit, getting to see him in the first few minutes in action. Tomas Jakob for me was a standout in this match as a whole. I think he was outstanding. I think we already talked about his versatility, but defensively, just his ability to read the game and where he needs to be in those places. It's how well thought out the tackles are. A lot of times when we think about defense, it's a lot of, oh, just going in for a tackle, just going in for that extra leg out to knock the ball. There's a lot of thinking that goes in because you got to think about, all right, where am I positioned in the play? Where do I need to be? What do I need to do in that situation? Tomas Jakob read it perfectly. I think he was outstanding in this matchup as well. I thought that first half for Atlanta United was really good too. It was really even between Atlanta and Cincy. It was the second half that Cincy was able to take the reins a little bit and they were able to hold on and keep things going. And Atlanta had a couple of moments, but ultimately Cincy was able to put it home and were able to find two goals.
Yeah, look, I don't take as much notes as you or John Nelson do during the game or certainly in advance of the full-time report.
We do take a lot of notes.
But I did write a couple of things down, and one of them was 20 minutes and then no footing. And that's what it felt like to me. We can look at this first half from Atlanta United and say it felt even, and it did. But there was a divide somewhere 20, 25 minutes in where Cincinnati really started to get a lot more of the play. The play was starting to develop that heat map on the wrong side of the midway line there for Atlanta United. And then the issue then, of course, wasn't the first half. The issue was then they carried that momentum and they carried that dominance into the second half. Now, it took them a while to score, but it just felt like Atlanta was very few and far between their chances, especially if you go from halftime whistle on. And then there was a chance or two here and there at the very end, but the game was out of hand by then. But it felt to me like Atlanta United came out, a lot of energy, a lot of speed. Cincinnati withstood it, took the time to adjust. And it's not to say that there was no adjustment back for Atlanta United, but the adjustment didn't take the effect that Cincinnati's adjustment did. And it was tough for them to get that footing to where they felt like, you guys have all used the word that the team has thrown our way, protagonist. It felt like after about 20, 25 minutes, that word, that action maybe wasn't there for Atlanta United.
It felt like, honestly, what it reminded me of was when you think back to those earlier seasons from 2017 and 18, it was a lot of, we are going to put all gas, no brakes to start things going. And it works really well. You get that reward, but you have to find a balance with it. You have to be able to kind of manage it a little bit better. That way you have that energy to sustain. That was the thing that I noticed too, was you had a lot of energy, a lot of push, a lot of force in the first 15, 20 minutes. But then once that energy kind of falters, it kind of falls, especially in the first match of the season.
Exactly.
When you're trying to get things
going.
This
is where a shortened preseason, losing the one game that you had that was rained out, and feeling the impact of it in the I totally agree with you. I think this is something that will settle itself.
I agree. Yeah.
Over the course of, I'd say by match day three, match day four, I think a team came up amped on the road. They were juiced up and they ran themselves out a little bit in that first 20, 25 minutes. That will slow down. They will learn to pace themselves as the season goes on, and the hope is obviously you won't feel that sort of drop-off. Mm-hmm. You're also not going to be playing a team as talented as FC Cincinnati on the road every single match day, and I think you do have to give credit to them where it is due. That is a dangerous team. They had some of their more dangerous players step up. Kevin Denke scored, Nick Hagelin scored. That's a good team. Yeah. They are competitors, contenders in the Eastern Conference, and there was a long portion of this game here, Maddie, with you and I sitting here in the Kia Studios. We're just talking like, they're doing a great job holding this team scoreless, and maybe you can get it. And it was at the 71st minute, I looked at the clock and I said, boy, they've done good, but there's so much time left.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they just couldn't hold it together quite long enough. But again, and I know Jason said it at the end, and you and I are going to repeat this phrase or something along the lines of this phrase multiple times tonight. Mm-hmm. I think we have to. This was always going to be a work in progress.
For sure.
For Atlanta United. This is always going to be, there are steps, there are levels, there are tests that you will eventually pass. You are not going to get the Tata Martino Atlanta United finished product in game one. It was never going to happen that way.
I think it's unrealistic to think that you're going to get that immediately. And it's one of the realities you have to come to, especially with the fact that it's still dealing with so many new players that you just brought into the fold, that it's getting them worked up and getting them more involved into the team. You also lost that fourth preseason game, and I hate to keep stressing it, but it really is that important to get a couple more matches under your belt before you start the season. And it's unfortunate that it just got rained out. But it's still, you know, you use this first match. It's one of the reasons why Cincinnati subbed out Evander as early as they did in the 10th. He felt something. You're not going to push him forward, especially since it is the first match of the season. You want to take him out as early as you can, make sure that he's checked out, he's all good, and that way you don't risk hurting something even more. It's the same thing here for Atlanta United. You got to keep pushing. You're going to keep finding those things that work, what doesn't work. It's about finding the right pieces that fit the puzzle.
A couple of things we like to do here in our opening segment of the full-time report. One of them is a statistical recap. Possession was 56% to 44% for Atlanta United. Shots were even, 9-9. Shots on goal were even, 3-3. The XG, 2.6 for Cincinnati to 0.7 for Atlanta. The dumb thing about that is a good portion of that 2.6 was on an opportunity that ultimately they didn't score on, ended up hitting the crossbar or the outside of the post. So you know where I stand, where Maddie stands with the XG. We'll move on from that. We also do like to give out, and we'll keep our season-long standings as we go, but who is the first one of Atlanta United's 10th season to be named Man of the Match?
Gotta go with our new our new man around the block in Tomas Jakob. I think I said it before, and I'll re-say the same thing again. I think from what I saw in the Lexington matchup, from that one preseason match we got to see, I really liked what I saw from him. And in this matchup as well, I think his versatility, what he can bring you, especially for Atlanta United as the season continues, that's going to be, I think, key for this team, especially with what he can do in that back line. He can slot in between the center backs and act as that third center back. He can come in and make that back five if you need to be really solid defensively, but also in the offense too. He can step up. He has to be that bridge, especially in connecting from that back line and going forward. And I thought he did a good job today too. And unfortunately, a lot of his plays had to be defensively, but I mean, that's what you want to see, especially from that signing. And I really liked what I saw from him early on. So he's my man of the match.
Yeah, look, we're going to talk about Jakob at times. I do want to spend some time on Elias Baez as well, who, if we had given out man of the match at halftime, it would have been him. We'll talk about him on the other side. And then, look, we're going to keep it real. At least I'm going to keep it real here on the Full-Time Report. Got to talk about Lotte Loth. And we're not going to be overly negative. It's one game, as we mentioned. All of it's a work in progress, but frustrations abound, at least for me, on his performance tonight as well. So we'll break it all down as we continue. That is Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. We are live back in the Kia studios. The Full-Time Report continues in 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz. Atlanta United falls 2-0 to FC Cincinnati on match day one. A number of games just about 10 minutes from getting started across MLS. A couple of good ones later in the evening we may talk about a little bit later in the day. But want to talk about some of the action for Atlanta United. And we'll have plenty of time to get to some analysis as well. And waiting to hear from some of the players there as they take the post-game press conference podium shortly. But in the meantime, we'll let you relive some of the moments of the game. These highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Maddie and I were talking about how strong Atlanta United was in the first 20 to 25 minutes, and they had a scoring chance early on. Sabo Lobjanidze required a pristine effort from Cincy goalie Roman Celentano.
Off the free kick, it slipped to the far touchline. Hernandez going over the top for Latte Lott. Straight down the middle, it's over his head, but it's going to bounce to Saba outside the 18 left side. Saba spins back to the right, now to the left. Now will come forward into the box. Dribbling parallel and shoots, and a diving save by Celentano. Latte Lott trying to chase it down, trying to down to the far corner, but can't get there. Ramirez got there first. Now the flag comes up.
And the offsides was after the shot, so if it had gotten past Celentano, it would have been a goal. It was a really nice move from Saba, and he was dangerous early. This is one of the things we'll talk about as we get deeper here into the full-time report, Maddie. We kind of stopped hearing Saba's name as that game went on, but he was one of those guys in that first 20-25 minutes that seemed like he was going to be a problem. Again, it played relatively even over the next number. I think Cincinnati had the better of play from, you know, maybe minute 25 or 30 on. A mistake by Barakal, a deflection almost led to a goal. Oyos came out and it was hit off the outside of the post, the far bar there, and so it stayed nil-nil until the 80th minute. In the attacking third, there was a turnover, and it was a 1-2-3 here. Samuel Giddy gets the ball. He gets it very nice, in my opinion. I hate to credit the other team, but it was a really nice countering pass here to Ender Ekinike, who eventually finds Kevin Denke. He makes some footwork in the box and slides it home for Cincinnati's first goal.
Sent ahead now all Marone through traffic down the left wing. His thing. Final ball deflects away from Moranchuk, and Cincinnati now countering 2v1 down the right wing. Echenique, a long run with Mahai in the middle. Echenique, cross to Denke, dribbles, shoots, scores. One nil Cincinnati in the 80th minute.
And that was followed about 10 minutes later off of a corner. A dangerous guy there on set pieces. Nick Hagelin doubles the FC Cincy lead.
But Atlanta's got to defend this corner. Comes out of the far corner. Goal to our left. They float it to the penalty spot. Edder score. They got it to Hagelin, and he does score. Score. And it's lights out at TQL Stadium and lights out on yet another road loss for Atlanta United.
So, Maddie, let's break down this first goal because, you know, one of the things I'd said way too often last year was if we're going to lose, if we're going to concede goals, I understand that and I'm okay with that. I want it to be because the other team did something well. And I believe that this was just a really nice counter from FC Cincinnati. I think
it was,
and I know you're going to make the argument that there were a couple of things that Atlanta United could have done a little bit differently to make it tougher. I just think the outlet pass from Giddy to set up Ekinike slides it, outward bends it really nicely to get the two-on-one break on, and then Kevin Denke does what he does as one of the best goal scorers in MLS. I will credit them. That was nice break,
absolutely.
And it's something that we have talked about leading into the season, that Atlanta United is going to push at times, and there are going to be chances, opportunities where their back line is either outnumbered or has to make a play, and unfortunately, in this instance, didn't happen. You went back, and we just went back and looked at the replay, and you saw one quick moment after the turnover where you thought something done slightly different here or there could have had a different result.
Here's the thing. When you look back at Tata Martino and how he led that Inter Miami side when he was coaching them back in 2024, one of the things that happened, you know that they're going to want to play a high line. That's what Tata wants this team to do. You're going to play a high line. You want to get that line really high in the attacking half. Here's the thing. When you do make that turnover in the attacking third, you have to get back and get structured defensively. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that didn't happen, which then allowed, and listen, I agree with you. The build-up play from Cincinnati was brilliant. And that's exactly what Cincinnati does. Their countering ability is arguably, in my personal opinion, one of the best that we've seen in the league. They are very good at that quick transition, going back the other way. And it was Echenique is able to connect to to Denge, and then he's able to slot it home. It's that build-up play that's so good. But here's the thing, though. One of the things you have to do, especially if you're Atlanta United in that situation, you see that ball immediately going to Guidi or to Echenique. You need to be there, and sometimes you got to make a little bit of what we all call professional foul there. You got to stop that run. Do not allow them to make that break. That's the thing for me, is you got to make sure, especially, it has to get structured defensively. That's something Tata Martino has emphasized with us in media this week and everything else. It has to just be a little bit more structured there, because you can't allow that counter to break. That's where I think it is. But Cincinnati, it's a brilliant counter going the other direction. It has to be more structured. But again, it's the first match. It happens.
Our man of the match today was Thomas Yacoub. He is at the post-game press conference podium at TQL Stadium.
¿Qué esperabas o cómo comparas el nivel? Sí, la verdad que el nivel creo que una de las ligas más competitivas a la que he jugado. Es un nivel muy alto porque el jugador es muy, muy bueno, muy de mucha calidad. Es una liga muy rápido de transiciones. Entonces tenés que estar constantemente alerta, te mantiene los 90 minutos, porque es lo que no pasó. Si ya al mínimo segundo tenés una falla o un error, no estás concentrado, la apagás y la buscas adentro.
I think it's one of the most competitive leagues that I've played in. I think the level is very high. I think there's good players. It's a league with a lot of transitions, so you have to adapt. And as we saw tonight, there's plays where in very quick plays, split second plays where they can impact the game.
Yeah, and look, he was addressing essentially, and it wasn't the only moment where there were transition opportunities. There were some where Atlanta United did defend well, yes, including Yacoub. Uh-huh. And one of them distinctly that probably locked up man of the match for you was, I think Jason said it was about a 70-yard run, including a pass onto another player. Mm-hmm. He continued his defensive run and won it back, or didn't win it back, but won it out for a throw-in. When Cincinnati was trying to attack. And so there was some of that. Let's go back to the build-up and the goal that you were breaking down before we heard from Yacoub just now. I think there might be some criticism of the turnover. I disagree with that. I think the turnover is understandable where you were. I think what you have properly aligned here is that there was a moment before Guidi was able to play the ball up to Echenique where it was open. The ball was just there to be had. And whether you could win the ball or whether at that moment you could foul Guidi, as you called it, a professional foul, and kill that buildup, that is where the mistake was made. The turnover wasn't necessarily a mistake. Turnovers are going to happen, especially when you're that high up the field.
Turnovers happen all the time. Yeah. But again, the way that Tata wants this team to play, when that turnover happens, you need to immediately try to fight to win the ball back. That didn't happen.
And there was a moment. There was a moment either by foul or by pressure to nix that buildup when that part of the field had no Atlanta United members there. That's where Guidi has time now to collect a ball that was bouncing, find Echenique, and then the break is on. And so, again, it's a work in progress. I told you we're going to come back to this.
Exactly. It's a work in progress. It's one of those things, too, especially when it comes to that type of play as well. You have to be prepared. As soon as that turnover happens, you're immediately on the break, on the gas, getting forward, trying to get back structured defensively and keep things going. At that point, it's the 80th minute. A lot of players at that point haven't played a full 90 yet. This is one of the first big competitive matches. You're kind of feeling the adrenaline. The waves are going all over the place. So you might not have that extra energy that you need to push forward and find it. That's why it's a work in progress. That's why you're trying to get the pieces to fit now. That way, when you get later on in the season, something like this doesn't happen again.
And I think the important part of this is that you go back and you see the mistakes that were made and you adjust and you learn from them. Because a work in progress or building towards something, all of that, it has to be about lessons learned.
It has to be.
You know, we're watching the Winter Olympics and you've heard people who have faltered in previous Olympics 4 years ago and say they learned a lesson because this, that. You got to learn from the mistakes here. And as a fan base, we're relatively patient here in Atlanta. We're going to be allowing of some of these mistakes, including the one that led to the goal. We're not happy about it. We're not rooting for it. But you have to understand that is part of this. And I mentioned it on our preseason special on Wednesday night with Atlanta Soccer Tonight, Jason Longshore, and a good portion of the Soccer Down Here family. You're not going to be there for a while. You're not going to be at the level that Atlanta United can be or needs to be at. The goal is to be at that point as you hopefully qualify for the playoffs and then enter the playoffs. This was never going to be a perfect affair. It's never going to be, first off, no team wants to peak week one, match day one. It'd be nearly impossible. But this is always going to be something where you're figuring it all out for, I mean, again, not just today. It's going to be a couple of match days where they're figuring this stuff out and then get to the level you need them to be at. But that only happens not only when you make a mistake that led to a goal in the 80th minute, and you made a good point. They were tired early. They were certainly tired in the 80th minute. It only happens, though, if you learn from those mistakes and if you do something differently the next time that happens.
Absolutely. It's something as well, and again, thank you to John Nelson listening in a little bit on the presser. One thing that Tomas Jakob said, too, is that there's a lot of positives, and then one of the things as well, the big takeaway is mostly their attitude and how they continue to push all the way through 90 minutes and try to give it their best. And there's so many positives, but you have to continue to work forward with it and keep things going. And it's one of the things, too, is it's you have to be able to be, you have to be concentrated, especially with the first 10, 15 minutes. And sometimes when you lose that as well, I'll read something else too. And I hadn't a chance to fully see this, but noticing the same thing, you know, when you have to go back and you see the division from above, but on the field, it's suitable fuel, just like you said. And I think that we are 10, 15 minutes where it wasn't that. You weren't concentrated and they were able to take advantage of that. And it's the small details that will ultimately make a difference. And it's why, especially with that first goal, that small difference is so important in the way. But again, you learn from it. You're going to look at that again. That's probably something they're going to look at in the tape, in the tape room. And then they're going to go back and look forward to San Jose and say, all right, here's how we stop that from not happening against San Jose and how we learn and continue to get better from it.
And part of that point is that not every team is FC Cincinnati. This is one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. And so you played them pretty fair. And there were, you know, up until obviously, that breakaway goal, you know, 75, 78 minutes in, you felt that a point was possibly there to be had, and then who knows what happens the last 20 minutes. Maybe you find one, maybe they found, now they happen to find one, and then a second one. But for a fair point of this game, it felt like you might find some sort of road result. And I think you look back at that and say, all right, that's, again, we talked about this in the Five Stripes Countdown. Result aside, today was about setting a baseline.
Yes.
And I do think you've done that.
I agree.
I do think you've noticed at times some of the things that you're hoping to do under Tata, certainly, and also the mindset, the mentality, and as you said, kind of the fight as well, which was something that was one of the big complaints last season. There's still plenty of good, plenty of bad. And we're going to break down a couple more of those. I want to focus on two specific players in our next segment, one at the front, one at the back. One good, one bad. So we'll do that on the other side. She is Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. This is the full-time report. Atlanta United falls 2-0 to FC Cincinnati in their season opener, season 10 of MLS play for Atlanta United. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more analysis on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios, the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz of soccer down here. Atlanta United does fall in their opener today on the road at Cincinnati 2-0. And we talked about this, Madison. Today was, you were hoping for a result. I think we hope for a result every time you take the pitch, home or road. But it was also the debut, well, re-debut, whatever you want to call it, for Tata Martino in this era with Atlanta United. And it was about setting a standard, setting a baseline, and result aside, that was partially what you did see today.
For me, one of the biggest things, and one of the things that really stood out to me from the preseason, me and Jason Longshore had the opportunity to talk to Matt Edwards on the SDH Network a little bit before, and we asked him what the identity of 2026 would be for this team, and he used one word, and it was just nasty. Not nasty in the way of reckless or chaotic, but nasty as in aggressive, as in confrontational, as a team that makes every yard more difficult and every touch uncomfortable. And I actually think that they did that against Cincinnati, especially in the first half. And I thought they even did it in the second half, too. Cincinnati took a little bit of control. But, I mean, it didn't take until the 80th minute for them to finally find a goal. I think the thing for me that, for me, especially when you look at the foundation of it all, last season, there were so many times, I think I said to you on postgame and in on AST with Jason, was I wanted to see more fight. I wanted to see more of that on the field. And honestly, I think in the match today, that's what I love the most, was seeing that from a lot of these guys, that fight, just getting in some of those tackles, getting into some of those faces, just being relentless, being a little nasty. And that's what I want to see, you know, press high, take a little bit of those risks. I think, especially in the offense, you maybe want to see a tad more of that and taking a little more risk. But ultimately, I think from the foundation standpoint, I like seeing this team be a little bit more nasty today.
You also saw some positives, and look, there were some negatives, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, but you did see some positives from some of the new additions, and especially some of the most recent additions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Thomas Jacob, you talked about when he initially appeared here with Atlanta United, everyone's like, all right, there's our right back, and it became very apparent quite quickly that he was not going to be a right back. He was looking at maybe being a six, and he was your man of the match. He was all over the place, especially in the second half. One of the guys that was kind of all over the place in the first half, though, Elias Baez. Again, if we'd been naming man of the match at halftime, it would have been him. He got the start today at right back with Saba up above him, at left back, my apologies, with Saba up above him on the left wing. And quite frankly, he was responsible for shutting down at least one like direct goal. You look back at that play, and I don't remember what minute, but there was a crossing where he just kind of got a little toe tap to it. And if he misses that, it's a two on none, and that's a goal. Multiple tackles when Cincy maybe did have a break on. A ball had gotten past Saba, and Baez was there time after time. He had a huge first half. Really nice to see him out there. Again, I think he just joined the team or just started training with this team this week, a week in. And one of the concerns I had, which not the reason, in my opinion, that you lost 2-0 today, was there'd be a lack of chemistry or lack of communication, or at times it would look disjointed. No, I know there was the one moment on the breakaway.
Yeah, no. But I was looking at you in the sense I was looking at something. I was coming back. I was making eye contact.
Overall, though, there weren't mistakes because the team didn't communicate or hadn't played together.
Yeah.
You didn't get the feel of that. And so for Baez to perform the way he did after a couple of days training with Mihai, with Barakal, mm-hmm. and with the crew, there's some reasons to believe that this is a team that can do better than a 2-0 defeat, do better than we saw last year. And I think Baez and Jacob as well, but specifically Baez, and in that first half, one of the big reasons it was 0-0 at halftime was Baez. Gives you reason to believe that this team can again, work in progress, but can show something as this season grows.
I think when you look at Elias Baez, I think when he comes in, you know, he's from the academy at San Lorenzo as well. And he has that, it's kind of like what Jace was saying in the pregame, you know, talking about him and Cooper Sanchez. They both were these academy players playing for their club, playing for the club that they've known since they were young. And they got the opportunity to, like, bleed for that crest, get the opportunity to step up and take it. And it's also, too, especially when you look at everything from what Elias Baez has done as well since then. I mean, he is a defender that is so trusted in what he can do, and especially before coming to Atlanta United. He had the most appearances as well. He started almost every game, and he's stepping into this role immediately because there is that trust. There is that trust between Tata Martino and his staff with Elias Baez coming in immediately, getting the start, and getting the job done. And I thought he did a really good job today.
Yeah, I thought ultimately the entire back line did a pretty good job. And I know sometimes you just look at a 2-0 scoreline and say the defense didn't do its job. I don't know that that's necessarily the way I would look at it. There certainly was a mistake from Barakal that probably should have led to a goal, but ultimately it didn't. And you'll take the lucky bounces as you get them. So pretty good for me as to what they got back line-wise. I think we're going to hopefully have an AME high and hear from him shortly. That was a positive. There were some negatives up front that we needed to talk about. We're going to do that on the other side. It's Madison Cruz, Abe Gordon. The full-time report continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz. Atlanta United falls 2-0 to FC Cincinnati. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they're going to donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Unfortunately, not able to get that done tonight, so just match day one, this season total is still currently at zero, but that will change. That's going to change in due time. I do believe that. So, again, we talked about some of the positive things that we saw. There were some negative aspects of today's game as well. I think one of them kind of goes hand in hand in general. I thought Saba was really good early on, kind of disappeared at times. Both offensively, but certainly defensively. And I think that's why we had Baez had to play so well defensively and Jakob also. I think Saba, kind of along with the rest of the team, maybe ran himself out a little bit too quickly. And part of that is under Tata's ideal play style is you got to pace yourself a little bit. And again, match day one, not everyone was match fit fully for 90 minutes. One of the preseason games didn't get played. And so that's something they can work on over the course of it and maybe just save energy and figure out how to play in this style from that perspective. That was for Saba, and I think that can take care of itself. There's an issue still with Lotte Loth. And yes, it was one game. Maybe it will look different next week against San Jose, and we can all look back and say, you overreacted. But it reminded me a little too much of last season. It reminded me a little too much of you've got 9 field players trying to make it work. Oyos and goal is 10. And Lotte, it's just not connected with them. And there were a couple of long ball attempts that were barely offsides, including one that maybe could have led to a penalty. They didn't review it. I don't know. I didn't get a good look at any angle that showed him definitely offsides or that showed him definitely onsides. So that's on the VAR team. But it just didn't feel like he was involved. It just didn't feel like he was connected. And for the most part, it just didn't feel like he was dangerous enough. And again, it's one game, and that can certainly change. But coming off of a season, Maddie, in last year where the whole time I watched TRA come in and I'm like, this guy feels like he's involved with the guys in the attack with him and connecting with the midfield. And I didn't see that from Lotte Loth last season. I had different expectations. It doesn't mean he's got to score 3 goals in the opener. But I wanted him to look like he was connecting and playing around with everyone. And I just didn't see that. And I'm one game. Work in progress, but I am a little concerned already.
I think it's about strengthening still that connection. I think what also doesn't help. And I do think that especially when you get Alexi Maranchuk maybe back into the lineup, I think you might see a little bit difference.
Because, good point.
Listen, I think Alexi Maranchuk, I said it last season, and I think it's, well, he is such an intelligent player, especially when he plays any role he was. When we saw him in the Lexington game, he played the number nine. He played the nine. He played the false nine. He was doing everything in that Lexington match. And I think he is someone that you are going to look to be the puppet master, to be pulling the strings there and finding those connections, finding those moments. It's the part of Tata's style, especially with that offensive freedom that you're going to have. And I think Latte Lath was getting in moments. I mean, he had a lot of those moments obviously were offside, but that means he's getting into those opportunities, which is good. We just have to find a way to get those opportunities to convert and go into the back of the net. I think it's going to be a moving process. I do think that getting Alexi Maranchuk, that's going to help round that out a little bit. I still think, again, with that, it's early process. But again, it is about being a little bit more dangerous and taking those opportunities in the attack.
I'm smiling right now, not because I disagree with anything you said, but I am remembering one of the offsides where he was just standing 15 yards offsides. It was a ball, I think, from Barakal, maybe. I don't think he expected that ball to be played all the way up to him. I think he expected a build-up, and that would, as the defense dropped, he would work his way back onsides. The ball was just played passed everyone to him, and he was just 15 yards offsides. That wasn't a great look.
I believe it was Anaya.
It may have been Mihai. It's one of the center backs.
Well,
yeah.
His distribution is incredible. Anaya's is brilliant. Well, it's really
good. It's only good if the guy's offsides.
But I think, unfortunately, with that one, I think Anaya thought maybe they had saw each other and maybe he was going to make the run. I just think it was a miscommunication.
It was definitely a miscommunication. I just also found it funny that he was just standing there way, way offsides. Either way, look, again, you can take some steps forward. The work in progress is going to be repeated. I mean, when do we stop repeating that? Match day six? By then, you have to be like, all right, we need to start seeing something, right? But for now, we're still working there.
Yeah, it's one where I'm not going to give it a timetable, but I do think you need to start. Here's what I will say. I think there's no timetable. I think you need to start seeing the things that we're talking about now get better. I think we need to start seeing a little bit more, especially in the sense of having the pacing be a little bit more evened out, having it be in a longer stretch than it was. I think seeing some things going on the offensive end, too, if we start seeing that progressively get better and better, then that's going to show us, okay, this is working. This is getting better.
Small steps. And I'm not suggesting week six needs to be the finished product,
sure,
but I'm saying by then you really need to start to see a little bit of change, a little bit of adjustment. Speaking of adjustment, match day one for Atlanta United has wrapped up, and we now turn the page to match day two. It's going to be a road game against San Jose. I got a question for you on the other side about what difference you might see from today versus when they take the pitch again in San Jose in a week's time. That's what's coming up as we wrap up the full-time report in our final segment, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In that first goal, in that transition moment, what could have been better from what you remember defensively when the ball turns over and they come at you?
Yeah, I think we lost the ball very fast. And this, kill us because, it's the moment you try to go to close to the player to, so when you lose a ball to anticipate it, we lose a ball very fast, so you directly you think you have to cover your back, and then was a situation two against one. So I think what I say is and this is not about any player or something, but I think is when we play in the half of the opponent, we have to keep the ball even more and also not play so much parallel, because this is very easy for a defender to anticipate. We need to attack the ball, to cross, generally to finish the action. But it's the first game, as I say, and we have a lot to improve, and we're going to improve. And as I say, I feel from the 6 months, I was less than 6 months last year to this season, is different game, as and we are positive, really positive.
Was that the mood in the locker room after the game? Positive?
Yeah. We was, of course, was. We was disappointing. We lost the game, and we didn't come here to defend and to win 1 point. We came here to win. As I say again, I think we should do better on this aspect, trying to create more chances, keep the ball higher on the pitch. But everybody say that avoiding these two situations, that again I say it's not easy 90 minutes to avoid everything, but we could do it and in the same time create more. But I think we are in the right way, and as I say, Tomas, Lucas, Elias, new guys, you know, we need time to to adjust each other, but in the same time, the league is already started, so we have to keep going fast.
Yeah. Thanks, Neil.
About the turnover that eventually led to a goal, echoed a couple of things that I had said, and then kind of echoed the general theme as well, going back to a work in progress. And unfortunately for them, it's building towards something, but these games do count. You are in the regular season, and they understand that. I think it was great. Great question by Jason there, of course, and appreciate all the work he does getting us that sound. But addressing what can be different that eventually led to that first goal. And again, immediately recognizing there are things that can be changed there that can hopefully prevent goals down the road. That's all part of it. That's all part of the improvement. It's all part of the communication and the strategy. And it's good to hear that the team, obviously, no one's happy with the 2-0 loss, but you also can't be completely defeated one game in here. And you saw some good things that you can take forward. You saw some bad things you need to improve upon. And I think Mia High kind of stressed on a multiple facets of that.
I completely agree. I mean, it's the same thing too, especially when that turnover happens, when you play so high up the field. When that happens, it needs to be a little bit tighter. You got to make sure that you're keeping the ball at your feet, because then you do risk the opportunity of that counter developing going the other direction. And I think for Anaya, one thing that I loved was, you know, hearing about the positive vibes still within the locker room afterwards too, because I do think that there was a lot of positives to take away from this match. I do think that. And I think, especially as you look ahead to San Jose, when you look ahead to the home opener as well, I think that there are a lot of things that you saw in this matchup that you can continue to build and continue to get better and continue to see a lot more results, especially with a lot of these new guys, too. They're still feeling each other out, getting things going. But I think early on, you're seeing Tomas Jakob as well as Elias Baez immediately clicking and having some really good performances in this first game. That's really nice, and especially with Cooper as well. I thought Cooper stepped in and did a really good job as well.
And we'll talk about him in just a moment. But I also think you look at how this game played out, and there are a couple of moments where it wouldn't have taken much for this game to have a different feel. I think you look early, Saba makes a cut back inside on his right foot and is able to create some space for a shot. He tries to bend it around Celentano, and Celentano is able to get a good paw to it and deflects it wide. He had more space to bend that, and I'm not criticizing the shot by any stretch. I'm just saying a slightly different shot there, and it's a 1-0 Atlanta United lead somewhere, again, I don't remember exactly when it happened, somewhere in the first 20 or 25 minutes. After the Denke goal in the 80th, there was a moment where it was close. It was tight. Latte Loth was ruled offsides. He had broken through. He had put a header past Celentano, and then Celentano essentially took him out. And if that is looked at or deemed to be onsides, it is a penalty kick. And so those are two very specific moments where we talk about American football as a game of inches. These were both situations where it was very, very close to being a completely different game. And then, not to say there wouldn't be any criticisms for you or for me, but it still gives you a different feel. Trust me, there would have been nothing better than to have criticisms and room for improvement with a result, right? The fact that you don't have a result doesn't mean there aren't positives and that you can't circle things to do a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But boy, if you had gotten a result and still have those teachable moments, things to grow on and all that stuff, that would have been kind of the best of both worlds in that situation. It was very close to being a different game in this one. You mentioned Cooper Sanchez. Thought he did really well. I know at one point in the call of the game, Jason was like, this guy looks like a 10-year vet, not like a 17 and change year old. Mm-hmm. Still not great on the
wild
number.
It's wild.
But, you know, when I do look at what can change from game one to game two, and this, again, is not a criticism of Cooper by any stretch, but you also talked about it when we were discussing Latte Loth. I think getting Alexi Maranchuk in there would be a big boost for this attack. And we talk about Tata Martino and what they want to do in the attack, how they want to play. I think you need a guy like Alexi in there to do that. And unfortunately, just wasn't quite 60, 90 minutes fit today because of a little bit of a knock. And you hope that against San Jose, maybe you get that. And I think it will take a different shape and hopefully another level of danger with Maranchuk in there. But when I look at the 11 that you started this game with today, that to me looks like the only, like, if he can go, that's the change you make is Alexi in for Cooper. Other than that, I don't have a ton of criticisms, or in the case of Latte Lott, there's no other answer there right now. You're still working Santos and Fafa Pico and other guys, and I don't think you'd make that change this quickly anyways. But when I look at the 11 today, I would think that at least 10 of them are who you're going to see against San Jose, again with the Cooper Sanchez Maranchuk switch, maybe the only adjustment.
I mean, I also could see a situation too where maybe you slot at home and maybe it's maybe Sabas checking out and maybe Alexi slides into that spot,
right,
as well.
Yeah, I thought
because
about that too.
That formation can shift around too. But I mean, listen, for me, I think for Cooper as well, when you look at his performance today, Cooper, when I saw him with the twos, I mean, he is someone who's stepping up to the plate and ready to go. I mean, that is something that I think is so incredible about his game. He's just unafraid.
I'm going to want you to finish that point. That is the same comment you had about Jay Fortune.
Yes.
That is the same comment we had about Matt Edwards. Mm-hmm. That is the same comment to a slightly lesser extent we had about Luke Brennan.
Yep.
And Dom Chonqui and a number of these guys.
Yep.
And I'm forgetting some of the names that came in spot duty last year as well, and short-term call-ups that had an opportunity to play. The Academy is preparing these guys for MLS
play.
Like without question, these guys are coming in, and even Hibbert to an extent
last year too.
These guys are coming in prepared for this moment, and I mentioned this before. At no point does it ever look too big for these guys, too emotional for these guys. And maybe from a physical or speed standpoint, there's a gap, and you understand that. Kid's 17.
Yep.
Now, he didn't show that today, but just in general.
Yep. Yeah.
But this is now a theme that you've talked about, these academy kids that you've seen coming in, and it's just not too big a moment for them. And I don't think you can understate the job done by that aspect of the organization in getting kids ready, not just for the next step, but to blend in there too.
Well, Santiago Pita is another one too.
That's the
He signed a homegrown deal this year. I think for Cooper specifically, it's one thing that the Academy has done so well is when these players come in, they get them ready for the professional level. Because listen, as we say it all the time in any sport, if you're good enough, you're ready to go. If you're good enough, you're old enough. That's what this is. And that's exactly what we saw from Cooper today. He stood up to the moment. He's just he's a player that's unafraid, and he's going to get into those positions. He's really intelligent the way he sees the game. He's fast. He's quick. He can get into those spots. And he did exactly what Tata Martino wanted him to do today. And I thought he did a really good job at doing it. But with these academy guys, what Atlanta United has done, it's why they invested so much in building that side of the training ground to have that academy facility. It's why you have Javier Perez coming in too and establishing what he is established with the club on the academy side. You're seeing positive results. And when we talk about Atlanta United too, especially on SDH, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they didn't win this match, they didn't win that match. Look at the talent they are producing for the first team. That, at the end of the day, is the goal. It's development and getting players ready for the next level, which Atlanta United has.
Let me help you out here. Does anyone care what the standings are at the end of the year for the Braves minor league affiliates? No, because it's about developing these guys to be ready, which some of those arms are needed, when they come in for the Atlanta Braves. And to your point, again, the twos are in a legitimate league and they are playing competitive football, but it's about the same thing. It's about developing these guys so when the big boys, the big club needs them, they're ready to go. And for the most part, they have
been. And even too, like, especially with the twos, like, of course you want to win games. You want to do that too. But here's the thing, like, when you talk about standings, you talk about results, at the end of the day, these players are going to step up and they're going to represent this club well, because they already have. Every single one of them. Caleb Wiley's one. George Bello's another one. Tyler Wolf. I mean, you see these guys step up and are at a big stage now in their careers and what they've done from the academy level all the way up to when they join the first team.
And again, I'm certainly not rooting against the twos, but I take
up the twos, guys.
For
up
me as a United fan, I take much more pride in seeing various members of various levels of the academy on youth national teams, on U18s, U16s, U20s.
I completely agree.
That to me is as much a pride thing as any game absolutely. That the twos could win. And then again, ultimately, it adds up to what you've got here with the big boy club, and they have been ready for the moment. And you're, the other thing is you're right. Depending on what Tata saw from Saba, from Cooper, that could be a switch where it's Saba out for Alexi. I know that had been talked about a little bit you know, before the season started as a potential look for the lineup as well. So we'll have to see where we go from here, because tonight Atlanta United did lose 2-0 to Cincinnati, but again, not all was negative. There's actually quite a number of positives, and we'll repeat it one last time tonight just to, for good time's sake. This is an Atlanta United team that was always going to be and remains a work in progress under Tata Martino, and match day one didn't quite go the way everyone had hoped. But again, it's a standard, it's a baseline, and you look to grow from here. That's going to do it for the full-time report. Join us again at 6:30 next Saturday, February 28th, for the next broadcast, as Atlanta United is going to take on the San Jose Earthquake. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer here in studio. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, safe travels back from Cincinnati, and Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. Once again, the final today, FC Cincinnati 2, Atlanta United 0 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.